It is taught.
Of course he's dead. The dosage was too large.
You killed him.
No, I did not.
I gave him life.
Here's your meatball. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack, movie two of our Halloween extravaganza of October 2013. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 181, and we are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm joined today by Brian, gonna have to call it for Dead Naked Bertha Dunaway.
Oh, that wasn't nice. Hey, that was fun, Herbert. But how about next time? Next time we bring someone back from the dead, how about we pick an old lady or the infirmed instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger's body double? All right. Also, I saw your note in the fridge. What does cat dad details later mean? What is that?
Nicely done. Also with us, Randy, 6 to 12 minutes, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian.
I've always admired your beauty. My dears, I think, I'm sorry, I have to stop right there, because while Rule 34 clearly states that if something exists, there is porn of it, that doesn't mean that I have to, oh, look, full frontal.
Right.
And no lungs with which to speak. Finally, Brian, old shovel to the neck, Ibbot.
All right, let's see. I need to get school supplies for my next year medical school. All right, intro to biology. I think that's a 3 broken pencil per day class. Let's see, autopsy 101. That's going to be a 5 broken pencils per day class. Oh, snap.
What was that all about, man? I tried to figure that out.
It's an academic, it's a real academic jab when somebody breaks a pencil. It's like throwing a shoe in the Middle East. I have no idea. I'm completely making that up. But that's what it seemed like, right? Like it was his way of like, pish posh, I broke my pencil. It must be real trouble in high academia. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the episode about the Reanimator, or it's just Reanimator. There's no the. In front of it, best I can tell.
We'll see.
This is a stupid movie, and it was made in 1985. It's supposed to be sort of based on a H.P. Lovecraft deal called, I forgot, something the Reanimator.
Yeah, Herbert West.
Herbert West Reanimator.
Reanimator, right. And it ended up being more of kind of a farcical, kind of alternate Frankenstein kind of tale.
Which is what the original was as well.
Sort of. Like the H.P. Lovecraft stuff has never translated to film well, I believe, because it just can't be. I don't think any of those stories work well as straight up, let's adapt it out of the book. They have to get goofy with it. They have to do a lot of changes and twists and turns.
I don't think they went that goofy with this movie.
They didn't know. I'll say they didn't go goofy enough. Let's put it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
I never wanted to watch this because I'm not big into a lot of gore type movies, but the more I watched this movie, the more I was thinking, you know what? This is kind of smart.
Really?
What? Smart stuff in this movie.
No, there's not. There's nothing smart about this movie at all. It is the least smart movie we've seen in months, I think. Now, that isn't to say there weren't parts of it I didn't like or liked or whatever, but Scott Fletcher is going to explain what the thing is in the first place, and then we can kind of discuss it from there.
Reanimator. Based on a story by H.P. Lovecraft, this campy send-up follows a medical student who develops a serum that miraculously revives the dead. With his roommate and his girlfriend, he reanimates a corpse, but he doesn't factor in certain complications.
That's putting it lightly. Pretty simple description of what is overall kind of a... I mean, it's a one-note movie. Guy's kind of crazy. Worked for Himmler or Heimlich.
Kind of crazy.
Well, you know what I mean.
He's not crazy at all. He's just driven.
He's driven. Sure, he's driven to succeed. and he puts
dedication.
Hot, yeah, hot. He puts in hot, like those things people glow sticks people take to raves. He takes some of that. He puts it in a dead guy. Dead guy comes alive.
By the way, he must have had that. He must have had that green glowing stuff in like 30 different types of bottles, because every time you saw it, there were different levels of serum in right. it, and it was always different bottle types and everything. It was.
Odd. And he had a ton of it.
Like tons of it.
A ton of it. Like it was never enough. He never ran out. Always enough. Right. Always plenty for everybody.
And he kept it in his open mini fridge.
Right.
That was always
mm-hmm.
open.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, I hope it didn't need to be refrigerated because, well, that right. would have been spoiled.
It's our second, right? It's our second, what you call it? Second Jeffrey Combs movie, mm-hmm. Frighteners right. being the first.
God, I love it. The more I watch, the more I see Jeffrey Combs, the more I just think he's just.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's just, truly.
Yeah.
He can just do anything as long as anything is wacky and right. kind of small. He's like a small man.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah, that's his job. Just ask Star Trek producers for the last 20 years why they hired that guy, because he's in everything Star Trek related.
Well, I think Stuart Gordon, who directed this movie, I think he was heavily influenced, first of all, of course, by H.P. Lovecraft. He loved that stuff, obviously. And secondly, I think he was enamored with like stuff like Psycho, because Jeffrey Combs in this movie, the way he's portrayed, he looks a lot like
Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, he gave me a real Perkins vibe.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, didn't the music give you a bit of a Perkins vibe?
Oh my God! As soon as the music came on, I was like, "That's Psycho music, man."
Well, you sent me this. You sent me this link. Let me play this. So, supposedly, this is not supposedly. It literally is. Somebody took the Psycho and the Reanimator music main themes and put them together. Right. And you tell me if this sounds like the same stuff or not, overlaid on top of each other.
Oh, yeah, of
here
course.
You go.
That first one's the Psycho. Yeah.
Trapped in the road.
Wow, that's really uncanny, dude.
Now here comes the second part.
Weirdly, yeah, I'll play all through this.
Here, there's Reanimator.
Yeah. It's the same kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Wait, Vanilla! I got Vanilla Ice on the phone. He's saying no, because that one has a beat. That one has a drum beat.
So
that's
kind of
the distinction. That's pretty funny. I felt like that was very Tim Burton-y.
Yeah, I could see that. It felt kind of like that Men in Black kind of intro, Danny Elfman kind of thing.
Yeah, Elfman, I guess, is more like
Elfman. Yeah,
yeah,
a little bit less Tim Burton, but yeah, it is what it is. At the time, I remember in '85, I was pretty young, and I remember people talking about this movie. And it was pretty forbidden fruit where I, you know, we're in my family. There's no way I couldn't watch RoboCop without getting, you know, a stern talking to.
Oh, yeah. RoboCop.
Yeah, man. RoboCop was pretty rough.
How did he do it when he gave you a stern talking? Was it?
He'd throw a towel over me to us. But I remember all the talk was, oh, yeah, this is the goriest thing you'll ever see. And there's all these like naked ladies in it. And plural,
and
by
not,
the way.
Not always naked ladies you want to see. It was cadavers.
right. Or dudes. I didn't know about the dudes. So I'd never seen this. This was the first viewing, but I knew it had this creed and people, you know, love Jeffrey Combs, and it's supposed to be like one of his best things. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement about us even watching this thing. What I didn't expect, and we've talked about this off air, and we warned people last week about it a little bit, it is a very like full frontal weird sex thing going on in this thing. One scene in particular, which features a headless dude who looks like John Kerry of the Democratic Party.
He did. He looked, as put well, it in
Christopher
my notes,
Lee, because, John yeah. Kerry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great. Like exactly. A combination of those guys.
More John Kerry.
Really. More John Kerry, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a P boat or PT boat in Vietnam. Like, I just probably see him up there trying
to defend
himself.
I wasn't sucking that lady's nipple on the. With my head
so
off.
This is why. Okay, so this is. I just want to mention this. So the girl who's in this, what's her name? Barbara Crampton. She's known for these Scream movies, and she was like a horror lady queen back in the day during the '80s, and she was in a lot of these things. And she would often get naked. Whatever, that's people do that. But this scene in particular is very, I mean, really, really creepy, because you've got this guy who's probably twice to thrice her age,
right,
playing the John Kerry character.
Right.
And it's not his head. Keep in mind, it's not like some prosthetic munching on her neck and her boobie. It's the dude.
What they've done is, okay, first of all, the character in the movie, his head is supposed to be decapitated. He's carrying it around. His body is carrying around his decapitated head. But to make the effect.
Kind of Futurama style, right? Kind of like. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But to make the effect, what they did was they just filmed, they cut him off the edge of the screen, you know, from his neck on down was cut off from the screen. And they had, you know, some prosthetics around his neck and everything. But other than that.
They had a guy's hands holding his head.
As they totally did.
Yeah, as if he's holding it, but it's really him.
While he's going, nom, 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 nom,
It bothered me.
It was such good effects. Like,
it was.
The whole use of the prosthesis and the trickery was so freaking good. Like, I was mentioning in my greeting, there's a whole Rule 34 here thing, like, you know, you really, I don't know if you haven't watched this movie, I don't know what to say, because they're like, here we have a completely naked woman who's tied to a table, and a headless dude is holding his own head and bringing it between her legs upward. And like that is like, wow, I've never even thought about like
very uncomfortable, right? Very and uncomfortable.
And on top of that, her zombie dad is standing over in the corner while he's doing this.
Right. Right. Now,
awesome.
If you can stomach it, and like the idea of headless fellatio, go back.
Cunnilingus, technically, but sure.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever. Fellatio was my favorite Latin scholar.
Oh, he made my favorite, but performer had those bongos. He was amazing. Yeah. Fellatio, when he toured in the 70s, incredible.
Yeah. It kind of had its ups and downs, but anyway.
Crampton comes alive.
Yeah. Right. Go back and watch that scene and tell me how they did it. Cause I paused it. I went back a second. I went forward. It really genuinely looks like the actor is the head. So it must be a fake head. I can't come up with any other solution. But I actually thought for a long time that the woman's body was fake.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Because then I could explain how what the head was doing there. But no.
Right. I think it was a fake head too, because the head was kind of like Muppety going nom nom nom. It was kind of you know what I mean?
It was a really good one, especially
but it was good
5 years ago.
I didn't like so I think that's why I hated the scene so much, because it was so, you're right, the top of the line gore effects were in effect here. Like, this is really good stuff, like Stan Winston level, like really quality stuff. Is that the right guy, Stan Winston?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of, right? Makeup guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really well done, and when his head's in the tray, you know that it's just a hole with him below it, but it's done in such a way that it just look, you know, you're buying all of it. You're just totally buying it in the context of the movie. And when all this stuff is going down, all I could think of was, this is really, really creepy, you guys. What you're having that guy do, and this poor, I just can't do it. I couldn't deal with it.
You're thinking about what the actress, like, basically.
Yeah, the deal she had to sign. Yeah, what she had to do. Like, when they sat down with her at a desk and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. For most of this movie, you're going to be really pretty, and you're also going to be pretty good. You're going to act and do well, and you're going to be fine. There's this one scene that you're going to be completely buck, and a dude who's got a big fake head prosthetic is going to be doing lots of very intimate things to you, while another actor behind him is holding his head as if he's holding his own head. And that's going to be filled with technicians, people behind cameras, and then the guy playing your dad over there. Well, he's the one that ripped your clothes off, and now he's standing in the corner gargling on his own freaking raspberry jelly. And this is all going to be happening. So how's that sound? That sounds great. Let's go.
Perfect.
Like, I can't even imagine why you would ever want to do this. But beyond all of that, it really did come across to me as just about the most pushing it line of. How do I put this? If this wasn't a horror movie and this was just a guy taking advantage of a naked girl, it was real rapey. Like, just a very rapey thing. Going on.
Yes, she was screaming rape.
And in a weird way.
There's no if about it.
Well, yeah, there is no if.
This movie is supposed to be kind of jolly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like the instant you start thinking about some of these things, you're like, oh wow, there's no joy here.
No, none, right. None. And
Scott can't handle that, but he can deal with the shovel murder.
Well, here's the thing: in the context of a horror movie, it softens everything. it even softened this. So it made it a little bit less horrifying because, well, here we are in a very unrealistic zombified, you know, everything's fake and there's, you know, the guy's talking with a severed head and he has no lungs. Somehow he's breathing, you know, like right. All this stuff is taking you out of the moment. It's like what science fiction does to real issues. It's like, well, you know, Battlestar Galactica's reimagining wasn't really about space and finding Earth. It was about these people are kind of look like this and sort of are us, but they're not us, damn it. They're toasters, they're machines. This can't be right, but is it right? Because one of them's kind of working for us and she seems like she's cool, but does that make her human? I don't know. Let's give her a name anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's that right. conflict is more, incites more rage when you just straight up say, gay marriage or, you know, whatever the issue of the day is. When you cover it in a layer of science fiction, you can talk about these things in ways that let the issue really spill out under the guise of this is science fiction. Well, in this particular case, I think you can do this with horror as well, but I don't think they quite pulled it off with that scene because it was just too much for me. Like, it's not that I had to look away or I'm not a prude, but I see this sort of thing and I just think, dude, that is the most objectifying of women I've ever seen in a horror movie. And I'm sure there are worse examples than this.
Oh, there are.
I'm sure they're far worse than this. I'm sure of it. Your typical dude and girl making out on a bed and Freddy comes in and stabs him through with one of his hands. It's not the same as that.
If you watch any slasher films from the 80s, there is all kinds of intermingling of sex and hardcore gore death. I mean, and so really when I saw that scene, I just really mostly went, oh, you 80s. We were so into different things in the 80s about that kind of horror. So
yeah.
I don't know if – I guess we were rebelling against some things. And it's not that far cry from, you know, these – I really think it was an influence of all these scare tactic videos that a lot of these kids, a lot of these directors saw growing up during the 60s, you know, the 50s and the 60s, seeing all these scare tactic – you know, what's going to happen if you do something sexual, you know, you're going to get murdered in the most horrible way. And I think that influenced a lot of these movies that happened during the
80s. It could be, because it's funny, right before seeing this, I watched a documentary on Netflix whose name I cannot recall at all, but it was the history of American horror films.
Right, Red, White, and Blue.
That's the one.
Horror or something.
That's the one. And they refer to this movie specifically as and talking about injecting humor, and they showed the scene where Combs takes his head. His head won't stand up on its own, so he has to put it on the note thing.
That kills me. I love that.
That was pretty funny. But they were talking about, you know, the psychology behind what horror movies are for any given generation and what larger issues they're speaking to. And they talk about Reanimator in some of the same ways you just mentioned it.
Right.
And so, you know, today's kind of torture porn stuff like Hostel and the Saw movies and things like that are addressing some other weird pent up psychology in American entertainment culture that we can't quite dissect yet because we're not a good decade away from it yet to look at it objectively and say, oh, well, that's what they were trying to portray there. I'm totally.
Everything's about Reagan and our sex training.
That's what everyone did. That's what that movie was implying. That it's all anti-Reaganism stuff, which is weird.
It's a stretch is what it is. It's not weird.
I agree. It's a stretch, yeah.
You're just taking it too far there.
Sure, probably. But I guess my overall point was it felt that scene just, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it just made me go, yeah, that's like, I feel like I'm, this feels like a thing that you could get, like you can almost get in trouble for watching it in some other era.
Oh, you totally,
do you know what I mean? I don't just mean your mom or dad are mad. I don't mean that, but like, I don't know. I don't know what to compare it to.
The police would have bust in and.
Well, it'd be like watching, what's that movie? Cannibal Holocaust. I've heard about this movie. I've never seen it.
Oh yeah,
but I always hear that Cannibal Holocaust.
It'd be kind of like watching Faces of Death back in.
Yes, right, Faces exactly. of Death. Perfect example. Yeah. You feel like you're watching something almost illegal, and that's how I felt. I know it isn't, but I felt that way, and I'm not used to feeling that way with movies of any kind. And I've seen some weird stuff, but this one was just like, ugh, that scene, dude, gross. Get John Kerry's head out of there as fast as you can. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that. I just think that scene had to be addressed.
Right. And, it was very sexual in the way it
but
was.
But not I mean, sexual like in a... I don't
not
know.
In a good way. It was the...
Not
it was
sexy,
the,
but sexual.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Sex is a horrifyingly twisted idea of what
right. And basically the whole idea boils down to this is that... anything that had been reanimated... and it kind of stayed consistent throughout the movie. And you can criticize this movie in some ways, but in other ways, you got to kind of admit it's a little bit smart, because the longer someone's dead, the more animalistic they were if they're reanimated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This Dr. Hill, who had a thing for this girl, and he wanted to, you know, he'd already been stalking her. He was already somewhat of a pervert. He was reanimated very quickly.
Right.
And
there were actually several people. It was really two classifications, really fast and much, much later after you've been laying in the morgue for a week.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the longer you've been, the longer you've been dead, the longer the brain has been dead after the 6 to 12 minutes is what they have talked about. Then, of course, there would be no abilities to, you know, to rationally think. So you would just go through animalistic behavior. And so I thought it was actually a pretty good, I thought it was pretty consistent. For a horror movie that was as stupid as this is, and the idea that it was actually pretty consistent in that area.
It's a lot like Peter Jackson's early stuff, like Dead Alive and can't think of the other one. The one where the, you guys know the video cover. You saw it a million times when you were younger, where the mouth is being pulled open and inside mouth is like a skull or something.
Yes.
Oh, what was the name of that movie?
That was a Peter Jackson joint.
I should know that one.
That may have been Dead Alive. I don't remember. But all I remember is a grandmother getting run over in the face with a lawnmower. That's all I remember.
I got ran over by.
Yeah. So the difference, again, between this and something super gory, gross like Dead Alive, for me, was that scene where there's just a, there's a really mean streak in it.
Oh, and absolutely.
The rest of it was just silly, like just stupid. And a lot of man wiener, you know?
A mm-hmm. lot of man wiener.
Yeah.
Why do you add man to that? I've always wanted to ask.
Because it makes me laugh. All right. That's all. I know that you can't have the wiener without the man, but I think it sounds funnier to say man wiener.
I don't know. There might have actually been some woman wiener in the movie. Like, there was a
folds
lot
and flaps
of
flaps of skin that have pulled flappy, off the right. decaying bodies.
Yeah, sure.
You know, for a movie that could have totally went for you know, just straight up and just said, hey, you know, we're going to have only naked people who are attractive. They didn't do that here.
No.
They said there's no qualifications for being naked. If you would consent to being naked in this movie, I think you were pretty much in.
Well, it was whoever would do it for $25 is my guess. Because I didn't see anybody there was like, except for Arnold's double, I guess. That guy was kind of Adonis-like and big. But some of those guys, seriously, Skid Row dudes.
right. Like, and hey. I didn't know that was actually his body double until I saw that in a trivia. That was actually the body double from Terminator.
I saw it ahead of time, so that was kind of fun because then
he was looking for it.
Looking for
as
it.
Soon as you and as soon as you see, it's like, oh, that's the guy. Yeah. That's definitely
totally Arnie.
There are a few false alarms earlier, and you're like, oh, maybe that guy. Oh, maybe that guy. Oh no, that's the guy right there.
Yeah, and him getting the Cuisinart through the chest was pretty cool.
That was wicked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like it's funny because that sounds horrible and terrifying, but. In the context of this thing, again, he's a zombified dude. He's going to kill you, so you got to do something. Like, that's all fine with me. He didn't get all creepy and John Kerry on anybody.
Now, there were a few different versions of this. I'm looking online right now that there are there's the unrated and then the rated R. Now, when this was released in theaters, a lot of that stuff that we talked about earlier was not part of the film. That was added for the unrated version.
Oh, so Netflix is the unrated version then.
Netflix is the unrated version.
Yeah, this is what, 23 years later? Mm-hmm. So how many years?
85. So 85. What is that? Almost 28. Almost 30 years. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so our threshold for stuff, it changes. Funny because the rape stuff, you can't get away with much anymore like this. But the, you know, the other stuff just wasn't as bad. So it's just, even like the unrated stuff, it's like, yeah, we're all right with that.
That's interesting. I kind of did feel like I was seeing a director's cut.
Right.
And not, you know, theatrical. Mm-hmm.
I think that violence is much more acceptable now.
It's weird because a lot of times you see a director's cut and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this was just long. But no, this was actually quite a short movie.
Yeah.
Hour and a half. An hour and 24 minutes. Uh-huh. Like, not even an hour and a half.
It has three acts and the last act is very brief, like comparatively. Right. It's 10 minutes of mayhem in the morgue. And then
Right.
I like a good mayhem in the morgue.
Can we talk about the security guard for a minute while we're talking about the actors?
And his boudoir magazine?
Yeah.
His boudoir.
He may have been the most clueless security guard in the history of film.
Right.
I loved him, though. And his he hearkened something that immediately struck me, which was Randy's work humor. Yeah. And so it's like, really going to go there with the work humor about people walking in and out in the morgue?
Yeah. Oh, the work humor.
The work humor.
Yeah, he was great because – he had to stumble in there, see right. some pretty horrifying stuff first to kind of have it start sinking in that he might need to do something about it.
Right.
And he's seen some really bad stuff, goes out in the hallway, another 5-6 minutes of mayhem happens mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where apparently if you kill the one dude, they all feel it. And then they just tear things off shelves for 20 minutes. I don't know what that right. was about. then it takes somebody flopping out there. Oh no, I know what it was. Oh yeah. The head got chucked out into the hallway, right,
thrown at the hall.
And then finally he decides, yep, now is when I'll drop my magazine and run the other way.
Yeah, I'm done.
That and then when he great. Goes in, I remember when he went in one time, he was all like, what do y'all, he's got his gun drawn. Yeah. He's like, what are y'all doing here? A bunch of crazy white people. And then he's like, I'm calling the cops.
Well, like, wait, you have a gun and I assume some authority. What are you going to do?
Right. I don't know.
That guy sucked.
He just left him.
No, that guy sucked. He was not great. Here's some trivia for you. The brains and severed heads were made up of steer meat byproducts. Oh, kind of like chicken nuggets are today.
Okay.
Ground beef and fake blood. And when they shot the scene in the autopsy room of the severed head being thrown out the door, that scene we were just talking about, mm-hmm. and then smashing into the hallway wall, the crew were all behind the cameras with garbage bags like some kind of Gallagher concert.
Oh, awesome.
Because it was so bad, and they used gallons of blood. Like now,
that is the kind of thing I was actually thinking of during this movie, because like there's just times in this movie where you're like looking at the reanimated dead cat going, this is not anything like entertainment. There's no entertainment value here.
It's not even so bad. It's funny. It's just so bad.
It's just like, what?
Are y'all talking about the cat fight scene in the basement?
Yes. It's
because
so bad.
That was entertaining as all get out. As long as you think of it as, oh my God, there's two actors on a studio somewhere running around like crazy people and trying to beat the crap out of stuff.
I found it extremely.
But that's where I went from there. I'm like, oh, I don't like this at all. This just isn't entertaining. And then I thought, you know, if they would accidentally pan too far and I could see the crew and whatever they're doing, this would become very entertaining.
It would be really good. Right? break that third or fourth wall, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, the base. I don't think that was a set, by the way. I think that was somebody's actual basement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of these sets felt like somebody's real brother places, said, "Yeah, you guys can borrow it, but we're coming on Sunday, so be out of there and have it clean right. before we get back.
Right. Clean up your cat fur."
Yeah, that was. I laughed when the cat was jerking around like a puppet. That made me laugh.
Well, okay, and when they threw it against the wall, and
yeah, that was all right.
It wasn't even jerking around like a puppet. Like it was just stupid.
It was a dead puppet.
And they were taped to the back of this guy's shirt.
Right. It was all Jeffrey Combs flipping around and making it look like it was.
Everyone was reminded of Monkey Shines at that point, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yep. I forgot Monkey Shines. That's a movie.
Except Scott.
This movie reminded me of Monkey Shines.
Yeah. I was definitely getting the Peter Jackson Dead Alive vibe and that kind of chaotic, blood for no reason horror movie thing the whole time. There was no reason for it. Like, I don't mean it was no reason, but it's all in service of how gross can we make this here?
Mm-hmm.
How disgusting can it be to chop a guy's head off with a shovel? You know, like let's go as far as we can. And it's the kind of thing you can imagine like effects artists and makeup people are having the time of their lives.
Oh,
like this must be the most fun you could ever have if you're a guy trying to make a fake head look fake. And, you know, for the most part, pretty effective. There are times where I was like, ugh, very Clive Barker moments for me. A couple of them. Actually, the quote unquote sex scene, totally Clive Barkery. Like that's something he put in his book.
Except there would have been a guy with leather straps on his face.
Yeah, and it would have been worse somehow, because that's what he.
Now you got to remember this: the same guy who watched the Human Centipede was okay with it.
No, I wasn't okay with it. I hated the first one. The first Human Centipede.
Whoa, that's the right way to say that, by the way.
Right, I hate the first one.
The second one
was just stupid. The second one was really dumb. Like whatever the shock value that they had in the first one, or whatever was horrifying about that first horror movie, the second one lost completely. It was really dumb. May as well have been a Funny or Die satire that I downloaded for 5 minutes. It was terrible. Here's your trope. One to start with. Doctors are naturally dicks to each other and competitive more than football players are.
Snap.
Right.
As soon as they get there, it's like, oh, here's our new doctor. He's joining the staff, and they're just looking down their nose at each other. Nobody trusts anyone.
Totally stole this from Hans Gruber. What? Die Hard.
Hans Gruber. So wait, actually, did I get that right? The Herbert character worked for Himmler?
Dr. Gruber, Hans Gruber.
It wasn't Hans Gruber, was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't Hans Gruber. It was Himmler. Gruber. It was one of Hitler's dudes. Wasn't it? Wasn't that the story that he worked for Hitler's people or something? Yeah.
He was a German crazy man. Yeah, in this movie. Yeah. The name Hans Gruber, you know, was a tropally assigned to some person.
Are we sure it was Hans Gruber, though?
Well, yes, it was Gruber, I heard it twice. I don't know if it was Hans. Was it Hans?
Yes, I heard Hans Gruber twice.
Yes, and, yes. Oh, really? Okay.
And, I don't think I heard that either, but all right. Oh, Dr. Gruber. Al Berry played Dr. Gruber. But Dr. Gruber's not Hans, is he?
Yeah, it's just Dr. Gruber.
I think you guys just, in your heads, went, Die Hard, Hans Gruber.
Dude, no, I heard the name.
All right,
I'm surprised you didn't capture it.
I didn't hear it. That's too funny. That's great. What was my point? Oh, yeah, they're all jerks to each other. And I don't like movies where I have to wait 24 minutes for anything to happen, especially a horror movie that's going to have everything happen. It's like, come on, you guys, get to it.
I was down with that.
I don't need all this lead up. Also, this is a funny thing. So the same actress, there's a scene early where her and the student boyfriend, who, boy, he was hardly in this. I feel like he wasn't even in it. He wasn't a protagonist at all. He was just like this guy. They're getting up after a night of hot lovemaking or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's doing the typical tropey thing of like keeping her blanket over herself to hide herself, like you do in every TV show or whatever.
right.
And she's working real hard at that. For I don't know why, because 2 seconds later it's off it goes.
I remember that.
She's 100% naked pulling up some panties.
Yeah, I remember that. What was going on though? Right before, like, why did you have to get so? Was that for the theatrical release? And they're like, okay, now the rest of the scene.
Now we have
you
enough that we can cut, that might cut away right. and look at him. Yeah.
That might be true.
Yeah, it's oddly enough,
I didn't think about that, but I thought the same thing too, because I was like, she was trying really hard, and I was trying really hard to see, and she was trying really hard for me not to see, and then all of a sudden it was like side boob, then full frontal boob, and I'm like, okay.
She's an attractive
just
lady.
She's teasing me.
She's cute. Oh, yeah. She's all right. She looks good now too, by the way. She's at some picture on her Wikipedia page at some con this year, and she looks great.
Yeah,
kind of shocking. She's
like
50 something. She looks, looks really good. Let's see. How about this
It's that reanimation series.
So good.
The stuff that's in a movie like this is always bright green, you know, like the magic.
Right.
Oh, I hate the glow stick juice.
Yeah. Why do we need that?
It's irradiated.
What? I don't even know what that irradiated. What does that even mean? It's irradiated.
Radiation in it.
I think you mean, is it irradiated?
Irradiated.
IR.
I got an E.
Irradiated
is electronic radiated. yeah, I don't like that. That's dumb. Don't do that in your movie.
There's it reminded me of The Rock, the movie The Rock.
Right.
Oh, remember the those balls of nerve gas?
You ever F the prom queen? That one, yeah.
Reminds me of the red antimatter in Star Trek.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Like
totally.
Like what are the odds of it being so bright red? You would think it would.
What was that called?
Red matter.
Red matter. Literally red matter?
Oh, it's, and it, yeah, and it's referred to really casually. So I took the red matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as you do.
Created a black hole in Spock film.
And then we looked at things in the past. And then I said it to a speaker like this. And bad things happened. And then.
Love that. Remember in Back to the Future when they pop open the reactor in the DeLorean?
Oh, yeah,
that was the same thing.
Spills out. That's the same thing. And it's a good trope. Just here, you're like, okay, give me an explanation. Tiniest explanation for why this thing's so brightly colored.
Yeah, why does it have to be green? And also, why did John Kerry get to be so calm when everybody else was freaking Peter Boyle and Young Frankenstein, like freaking out and yelling.
It was the amount of time.
Amount of death.
So he was
6 to 12 minutes.
So if he was dead shorter, he got to be less freaky.
Because you'll notice that the dosage is very important, and they specify that a bunch of times. And he really does give him less to reanimate him. And so there's this question. It's like I said, it's almost consistent.
Yeah, but at some point, you give the dad way more, and he turns into Lou Ferrigno because he's got more of it.
Oh, you shot him up. He started freaking out.
He squished the guy's head and threw it out in the hall. So the security guy might finally get the damn hint.
Right.
But
he had severe. See, that was the thing. I didn't understand. That was the other thing that I kind of wondered about. I'm like, okay, if you're going to reanimate somebody, don't reanimate somebody who is currently bleeding. because if you reanimate them and you start the heart back up or whatever else you're going to reanimate, you're not going to create much good because there's the wounds
just
are still
keep bleeding out. Yeah,
right.
Now, weird stuff happened in this movie that made me Some may cry homophobia. I don't think that's what this is, but you may still cry it, and that's fine if you do.
No, but okay. I just want to give you. I just want to excuse you if as long as you keep it right, because like there, it's absolutely true that a lot of like cisgendered straight men are not comfortable with that. You know, like even like I've talked to people who are like, I can't watch the UFC because these guys are so barely dressed
too
and they
masculine
look like
for them to look at or whatever.
They look like they're rubbing junk together.
Well, here's my thing. So it's not, I don't mind any of that. Naked is fine. Whatever. I don't care about any of that. I just, and I don't look at a, I don't see the male nude form and go, ugh, horrifying.
Yeah, you do. You've said do that on the show before.
No, I'm not, what I mean is I'm not so, I don't have to run out of the room. I didn't sit in life drawing in college and go, what, we got a male naked model today? I am out. Like,
Chuck,
that didn't,
I'm out of here.
That didn't happen. You're willing to, you know, whatever. But when it comes to like wrestling a zombie man who's buck naked, and that zombie man is literally, like you're literally jumping on his back and then he jumps on you and I'm watching this movie and his dingleberry is smacking into you the whole time.
Well, and it was kind of portrayed like the zombie man was kind of trying to make love to his enemy.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. And so I'm looking at it going, dude, that guy's wiener is smacking up against that guy's thigh left and right. And his hand just touched it. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, ugh, I couldn't do that. Like it's not, I am a straight man. And I think that's why, because I don't have any interest in touching a dude's wiener.
I didn't catch that at all. As a matter of fact, I thought they went out of their way.
Wieners left and right.
To go out of their way not to show it, not to make it.
Maybe not to show it, sure. I don't care about that. Right. But again, it's not the visual. It was me. Let's say I'm the dad, the actor guy, which I've seen. Right. I've seen that guy in other stuff, like straight up, like, you know, roles that aren't goofy horror movies. Mm-hmm. And to have him going, okay, I'm getting in my role here. Bam, a zombie. All right, attack me, everybody. I'm touching wieners now. This is great. Like, I that's the part that I couldn't deal with, but I also think I couldn't have dealt with it either from like the Big Lunch Lady one either. Like her slapping me around with her goodness, I would have been like, oh gosh, this is too much, guys.
So you're not necessarily afraid of you're not afraid of
I don't want people's bits smacking me, strangers.
Fat, floppy fat, you don't want touching you, and you don't want dingleberries touching you. So you've got like these very specific things that you don't want touching you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
in a room where people are yelling, cut, all right, let's do that scene one more time. Okay, ready, go. Okay, cut, right. That was great. And if you could come over, you know, in that, because I'm looking past just, it's a movie. I'm saying, well, what was it like to make this? There's a lot of hugging on naked guys. Right. And I just think that's weird.
You know what? I didn't even think about none of that while I was watching it. All I was thinking was, "Oh crap! Better look out of the way, look out, man."
You'd be the worst actor ever.
I would be. I would be a terrible actor.
No way I could do that. There's no way I'm doing that.
No way. I'm not letting him touch me with my wiener.
When you were talking earlier about nor could you be an actress who was asked to submit to this particular, you know, arrangement of things. I thought of that old joke about the, you know, about the circus coming through town and the guy at the very end of the parade scooping up the crap.
Yeah.
Oop. Yeah.
And somebody asks him, hey, why don't you get a better job? And he says, and leave my spot in show business?
Right.
Like that, you reminded me of that. Like Scott Johnson, you just don't have that thing, that uncontrollable urge.
I don't have that. And I don't feel like that stuff would be worth it. Like as the girl, I just don't think it'd be worth it. Even though maybe everybody's completely professional and that having John Kerry licking your nipple on camera is not really happening because it's a fake thing and it's in the script. Like I get that. And that's why it bothers me even more. It would bother me less if I just thought, oh, movies are real and this is happening. To me, it's worse because people are like, okay, the scene calls for this. Give me a second here. I'm going to bloody up my face. Now I'm going to lick your nipple. And we're going to film that. And I don't know what it is about that. All that interchange just puts me off. Just makes me not want to go anywhere near it.
A couple of weeks ago, I was catching up with a friend from Texas who I haven't spoken to in a very long time. And just telling him about me, you know, now I'm in California, you know, since you last talked to me. And And he just goes, I could never live in California. I'm like, well, actually, you know, if you get a job that you like and you, there's, it's actually a pretty nice place. And he's like, no, I could never live in California. I won't do it. There's nothing that will get me there. For, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is about California that just like freaks him out.
That seems, and, that does seem weird to me.
But it seems weird to you.
Sure.
But the whole, you know, I could never do this as a job in front of running cameras and stuff. That seems totally cool to you, you know? And like to someone else, it seems totally natural. They think it.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I'm not saying, yeah, exactly. By no means am I saying I am even typical. Like, I'm not even saying I'm, like, how is the rest of the world crazy and I'm not. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me. Mm-hmm. Like, even that guy, when I was at that gas station, or with that in that bathroom, Brian, when my earbuds swung and smacked him in the ding-dong.
Right, you just tossed him out.
I just went, blah, gotta throw those out.
There are people who are listening to you right now or who listen to TMS and say, wow, there's no way that I could get on a podcast and talk about all the personal stuff that Scott Johnson does. Sure. I could not do that. There's no way I could do that.
Sure.
So it's you know, it's just different levels of what you expect and what you say, you know what, this is what I do, this is my job, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, and also what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Like it really
she likes
is genuine.
Dudes,
like, when people say Hollywood chews up people and spits them out, yeah, I think a lot of the spit out is people who realize, oh, I don't like that. That's not very enjoyable. And the ones that stick around are like kind of enjoying it. Like they at the end of the day, they're like, wow, this is my dream job, getting all this blood splattered on me.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're right. I assume that there are mafia hitmen who really like shooting people in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'll bet there are people who like that job and they get satisfaction out of that job. Well, I could go nowhere near that job, right? Like, so it's the same thing. And it's maybe a little extreme example, but it's the same thing. And so for me, just and action. Two man wieners just slap me in the back. Not interested. Can't do it. Don't care what they're paying me.
I don't. Like I said, I think they went through a pretty good bit of effort to not make man. Because we're talking about, okay, have you ever been naked, Scott?
All the time.
You've been naked.
He's a never, like a never nude.
As little as possible.
All right? The time. All the time.
You ever done anything active when you're naked?
Yes.
Yeah, your Peter flops around.
I know it does. That's what sucks.
That's just how it does. Women's boobies bounce up and down, and men's junk flies back and forth like a pendulum.
Right.
That's
it's
life,
an
man.
Unfortunate part of life. I understand.
That's life. And I thought they went through a pretty good effort to hide that. They didn't go through the effort of buying a real Nike shirt for that one dude.
Yeah.
You know what? It's the same. Okay, I'll give you this is how I'll justify it. It's the same thing I get if I'm on a very, like, I've been on a very busy train before where it's standing room only. And everybody is crotching up right on me, man or woman, doesn't
crotching
matter.
Crotching right up.
I don't like that kind of proximity with
people.
Anybody.
People can't wait to get their crotch on you.
Well, I'm just saying. Like I've literally been in a case where I've been on a public transit system where I've had some dude who's pushed up so hard against me, I can feel the anatomy of his junk on my hip.
Sure, sure. Oh yeah.
All right. How about at a Great Clips when you're sitting there, they've got the tarp over you. And they're cutting your hair, and the woman is basically putting her crotch on your arm, on the armrest, through the tarp.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Now, I'm a hypocrite in one way, because if that was happening with, like, a total hot Betty, I'd be going, hey, totally look what that's happening. Yeah. But if it's happening with, you know, Snaggletooth
once
over
again,
there.
I must be, yeah.
But it's a stranger
it's
thing,
like
too.
It's trying to find the things that make Scott squeamish.
It's
you
a
know
strange.
I mean?
I wouldn't call it agoraphobia, but I'm not fans of big lines, packed people.
That's what you have.
You've actually called it agoraphobia before and talked about you're more comfortable when you're sitting in the corner facing into the room instead of back
to
people.
Put me, I'd rather be put into it. So here's the comparison. Put me in a crowd of 35,000 people right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the worst day ever. Put me in a desert by myself in the middle of nowhere with nothing but the clothes on my back and a little bit of water to get me through until I go kill my first raccoon or whatever. That is preferable to me. The desert versus that.
And when you were talking about being pressed up so close to somebody that you could tell what religion he is, I was thinking about music festivals. Man, there's down front at music festivals, man, it is tight.
Yeah, I don't want
it
to
is,
do that.
It, like, you just don't, you kind of try to put it out of your mind, like who all is around, because there's seven people touching you.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, and some of them are, you know, more excited to be there than you but are. But you know, what I mean?
What's funny is that Scott's okay with any other body part touching him. As long as it's not your junk.
Oh, well, like Scott doesn't have a problem shaking hands.
No, or, hands are great. Or, love you.
If somebody's shoulder is touching him. Right.
That's fine. That's fine.
Freaking Christian side hug.
It's something with they're just rubbing their goobers up on you. I don't like that. So, and I don't want to be rubbing mine up on someone else.
Are you concerned where the goobers have been? Is that the problem?
I don't know. It's you know what it is? It's a level of intimacy that you don't have with a stranger yet. So you're being forced into being in an intimate way with a dude on a train.
If only this train ride would go on for a few years.
Right. I mean, my doctor, who I know pretty well, can tell me to turn and cough and do all that business. I may not love the experience, but I'm not sitting there going, oh my gosh, it's the worst thing I've ever done. I can't believe it. This is so intimate. And because he's my doctor and I already know him, I get it. But when it's a guy you don't know.
Maybe there's an answer here. Maybe the way that a lot of these sort of scenes that make you squeamish come together is through rehearsal. Maybe they're in there fully clothed and they're going through their lines and then they get a little closer to it, you know, and so on, and like they get familiar with what's coming.
Sure, like that.
And it's a lot easier.
I was reading in a pool. I was reading. So I watched United 93, which I may have mentioned on this or last episode, and one of the interesting pieces of trivia I was reading about it, because we live in an age where you don't just watch a movie anymore. You go and you look up 1,000 things about it.
Yeah.
And I found out that Paul Greengrass purposely hired he hired all these actors to be on that plane, on the United 93 plane, and then he hired the hijackers who would also be on that plane, the actors to play them, and for the entire pre-production process, rehearsals, everything, they would be separated and ostracized from each other all the time. They never met each other. Separate showers, separate dorms, separate places to stay, sleep, eat, travel, whatever. And only on the shooting days did they ever know these other guys. And it naturally had this effect of people kind of staying away from each other because they didn't know each other. And that effect was something he wanted, because he wanted that feeling of separation and that feeling of weird ostracized kind of stuff to kick in naturally in the film. And you do get that feeling from that movie. And that, to me, that's what this would be like. Now, these people probably wrestled around with these dudes a lot in rehearsals or getting to know you. They've eaten lunch together. They've hung out. They had long shooting days with lots of fake blood getting cleaned up and reapplied. So you're right. They probably had the kind of preparation I have, knowing my doctor needs to look in my poop chute today or whatever.
Yeah.
Not that that's happened more than once. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. So yes, you're right. You're dead right. I'm looking at it strictly from the two-dimensional view of that guy's wiener is swinging around and smacking people while they're wrestling with him.
Drop trowel. Action. Like,
yeah. Right. There's more to it.
Doesn't work like that.
I didn't mean for this to go on so long, but it's an interesting point in my own head.
Right.
That we're even talking about it. Right. All right. Here's my worst hated thing. Heads that can talk without lungs. Stop doing that.
Yeah. That bothered me immediately, but I had to put it out of my mind.
Yeah.
But he drank all that blood in the pan, you know.
Right. It was funny because it was kind of like this. It was like your head's in the pan. It's kind of like a dry fish. We need to put some blood in there.
Yeah, like a fish that's dying. You get a little water in there, it'll be fine. That was pretty stupid. But whatever. I get what they were trying to do.
But it was fun.
And
how else could you play it? I mean, how else could you play it?
Well, at some point you have to quit. You have to quit thinking about it,
right?
Or you'll go crazy, because this isn't a movie where you're supposed to go, wow, they really thought out all the scientific details,
right?
You start thinking like that, then
you're done for.
Oh, forget it, you're out. You leave before a headless makeout scene. Yes.
Can I raise a trope?
Yeah, raise a trope.
What, we don't know much about this guy, but we know animals hate him.
Oh yes, animals.
Like, man, the minute the cat is like running away from this guy, I'm like, oh great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's really helpful information.
Yeah, that worked out pretty good.
there's an evil there that's beyond just animalistic. I mean, there's conscious choice.
But I'm just saying, as a trope in movies, like it doesn't differentiate from half the animals in the building I live in. You know what I mean? I go over to my neighbor's place and the cat runs away. Like, oh, the cat hates me. That must mean I'm
You're evil.
That means I'm evil.
No, it's just a stupid cat.
Yeah, the idea that animals have, I know they have some senses, you know, some can tell if you've got cancer or whatever those deals are, but the idea that they could tell that you're this evil mastermind and you're about to reanimate everybody, that's pretty stupid.
Right.
But they do it all the time.
Unless he was actually already dead and he'd been reanimated.
Whoa, wait, what? Are you going that deep on this?
This movie just got so much better, which is not hard, not easy.
Isn't there a second version? Jeffrey Combs redoes his role in a new one?
Yeah. Re-reanimator.
Okay.
Re-reanimator?
Re-reanimator.
Hold on. I'm looking it up.
No.
Reanimator from Beyond. Where does he do that next one?
There's the two.
I don't think he's in it.
There's the Bride of Reanimator.
Yeah, he's in all of them.
Oh, Bride of Reanimator. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Hold on. This is Jeffrey Combs. We're not talking about he turns down and goes, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm too good for the animator.
I love that scene where the bride shambles down the aisle.
Right.
Look at all the stuff he did. Necronomicon, Book of the Dead, H.P. Lovecraft, Unwrapped, 93. He was in that? He's in, if you've got a movie that has anything to do with H.P. Lovecraft, I guess you just hire him.
And so much Star Trek connections. Just going to
kill it almost hurts.
Oh, yeah.
So many. Skipping ahead here, just trying to see what he has done lately. He's the leader in the Lego Marvel Super Heroes video game.
Nice.
He was Ratchet in the Transformers Prime show that was just on Netflix. Still is, I guess.
Did you ever watch the 44?
No. The 4400. He's in that, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Right before this movie, he was in The Man with Two Brains.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh.
The Steve Martin deal.
That's
great. I
remember
being in that.
He is. Oh, the leader is a character in Marvel, is he? Samuel Stern.
Yeah, he's the guy with the oblong head. He's green like the Hulk.
Oh, I have a vague memory of this.
They were hinting that Tim Blake Nelson was going to be the leader after the Edward Norton movie,
right?
Well, not even hinting. I mean, he off screen becomes the leader.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is going to kill you guys.
The
Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, short run 2010 to 2011, new animated Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
He played a character named H.P. Hatecraft.
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
That's kind of awesome.
Wow. How subtle.
Right? Wow. Anyway, he's got quite the list of things he does. Whatever. I'm a fan. I like him.
It works a lot.
My point, I was going to bring up the point that I didn't feel like he was, he wasn't one note evil dude in this. He did that a lot and crazy kind of, but then there are other times you're like, he's kind of the hero of this.
He is.
And then he sacrifices himself, you know, and lets that guy run off with his girlfriend and
he just wants to further science.
Did you guys like the way they did that, though? That closing scene where it all goes black except for the thing.
The little green syringe. Not poorly cut to a little circle around the green syringe.
Okay, so the trope of the of the freeze frame ending. We talked about this before, but this was almost so tropey that you could see it coming for minutes.
Yeah.
Minutes in advance. Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, this is going to freeze frame on this guy.
Oh, no, she's dead. Oh, well, guess what's going to happen. Right. Mm-hmm.
So Bride of Reanimator, I'm trying to see if this was her. He comes back as Dr. Herbert West.
No, she's
not. But how did he get away?
She's not a sequel. But Dan is. Dr. Dean Dan Cain is in the sequel.
Oh, Bruce Abbott.
Yep.
And Claude Earl Jones, not to be confused with
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, his brother, his more successful brother. He's like what's her name? My brain just went dead. It was a mobster on Batman Dark Knight. What the hell's wrong with me? Eric Roberts? Eric Roberts to Julia Roberts. It's that kind of bad career to good career kind of relationship. Anyway,
they're all like that, though, right? The freaking Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen, right? Like there's always one who's riding way, way higher than the other.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, the Baldwins.
Yep.
Right.
Like Philip Glass and his brother Ira. Very different things they do.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are funny together. I don't know if you've ever heard them talk, but it's kind of a hoot. I think that's it. You want some clips? How about some clips?
Give me some clips.
All right, fine. Here are some clips. Here is one. I don't know why I still have threatening with P here.
You're threatening me? You're threatening me with P?
That's from the other movie from weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So here it is for real. Here's a bad sense of surprise.
I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't mean to scare you.
No, it wasn't too bad, Dean Halsey. I just didn't know anybody was here.
It wasn't too bad, Dean Halsey.
Dean Halsey. I hate that name. Dean Halsey.
Dean Halsey. Halsey.
Dean Halsey.
I don't like any. Deans are always the worst.
His name was Alan Halsey, and one of my former bosses was a guy named Alan Halsey.
Ooh, really? Watch
like
out.
Two-letter different. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, he could be zombified and tear his own daughter's clothes off. Jeffrey Combs is a real jerk this early on.
Frankly, Dr. Hill, your work on brain death is outdated.
What a jerk, dude.
Outdated.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Derivative.
Take that.
If only I had a pencil with me, I would snap it at you.
Now I would go back to the Jem'Hadar and see what I can do to whatever.
Such a stupid scene. Were you snapping the pencil?
Yeah, it was real dumb.
Oh, it was so dumb.
Yeah, it was real dumb. I have some angry acting from that scene coming up.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It'll be totally worth the wait, I promise.
What was that doing in this fine film?
Ruining it for us. Ruining it. Yeah. Let's see. Someone pretending to be scared.
Dan, stop! No! Yeah. Dan, stop it!
Wrong, my pretty.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that, Dan.
You don't like that? Wait till you see what we're going to do to you later in the movie, right? The guy with a sheet over him is going to be heaven compared to an hour and 18 minutes from now.
But it did work. Like you were thinking, wow, what's going to happen here? Like, is he going to pull that sheet off and his face is missing or something?
Right. Yeah. Because it was a long scene. And so, you know, something was there had to be some payoff. It wasn't just like filler.
She was backing up to a window and I thought, oh, something's going to jump out of that window. And it never did. Nothing happened. That was dumb. Here's some horror in the operating room. Whoops, right here.
Pull the skin forward over the head. It's very much like peeling a large orange.
You're right.
There was a woman in the front when they're laughing, and she's like, ha ha.
Here, I don't know what this is.
I suggest you get yourself a pen.
Oh, because he was breaking his pencils.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Got it. Nice. Yeah,
well, then he's just going to snap a pen.
Yeah. He's going to get ink all over the place, and that's worse.
That makes no sense.
And then where will we be?
Yes.
Angry acting from that scene. Here you go.
How can you teach such drivel? These people are here to learn, and you're closing their minds before they even have a chance.
What are you here for, Mr. West?
You know, you should have stolen more of Gruber's ideas, then at least you'd have ideas.
Mr. West!
There's Gruber.
Mr. West!
Still no Hans, but I...
They said it, I swear.
I'm going to take your word for it. Let's call the cat. What? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's her.
Oh my God. Yes.
Kitty, kitty.
That's really the worst. Okay, here it is. Wait.
Rufus.
No one calls a cat like that.
Come on, you fat cat.
I love that he's going, Rufus, and she's going.
Your girlfriend sprung a leak over there.
So stupid. Here it is. Here's a short version. Just have that for.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you.
You betcha. My dog just looked at me. I think she could hear it from here. My earphones.
Somebody calling a cat.
Here's your Tim Burton-y music. Now it's gonna bug me because it's the same.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh yeah, and it's so close that I don't think that somebody was thinking, oh, we're totally going to get away with this. It had to be done, you know, kind of as an homage, as an intentional, all right, well, let's do this. We'll add a beat to it, and it'll be our tribute.
We'll be under the wiser.
Well, Brian, you're big. I mean, you know a lot about music law and things when it comes to, like, you know, fair use and all that. How close can something be before somebody starts barking? Like, that seems real close to me that, you know, to the point that somebody would say something, not just, it's an homage, you know?
He would have had to give credit to Bernard Herrmann, who did the original Psycho in release, or they would have gotten sued. There's just no other way around it. So
you can get a release also. I mean, they might have talked the people who wrote the music out of it.
Or the most likely scenario, no one gave a crap. It was Reanimator. Right?
Yeah, that's probably the most likely one. I'll bet though, if you did watch the end credits, if you made it through the end of the end of the credits, there was a mention of Bernard Herrmann in there.
There might have been. Yeah,
there had to have been. I certainly didn't stay long enough to watch it. But
Dunaway has a good point though. Like this is like some rapper in some basement somewhere sampling songs from Jay-Z records and not getting in trouble.
And this is one of those movies where I wouldn't expect Netflix ran the whole credits either. I would expect that they like gave you the abbreviated credits.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Since this is a director's cut, you'd think it'd even be more, but who knows? Naked Wiener, bye. All right. How about, here's some, we always like the grunting in movies, so here's a little bit. That was the dad in the rubber room or whatever.
Oh, he was an all right Dean, but as a zombie, he was fantastic.
He was really good.
Yeah,
he was
great. Yeah.
Nailed it. I thought he nailed it. This guy is the worst.
I'll have you locked up for a madman or a murderer.
You're a murderer. A murderer.
I really couldn't get enough John Kerry in this movie.
Yeah, he's really. Who is that? Who's the actor? Has he done anything important? Probably not.
He's ran for president. That's about it.
Let's see. I'm looking it up. Boy, Jeffrey Combs cleans up well. His IMDb photo.
David Gale.
David Gale. You're right. Let's see. That name's really familiar to me.
He doesn't have an IMDb photo.
Kevin Spacey movie, right?
He was in the new Adam 12 David in 91. Kim. Hasn't done anything.
See, he played in Search for Tomorrow and then 51 and then not again until 85 for Reanimator.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then look at the other jumps. So in the 90s, pretty active. And then 91. And then the next thing he did was 2012.
But he died in 91.
Oh, you know what? It's some
was
kind
he reanimated?
Of, no, it was it was some sequence on some like probably a documentary.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Evil Clara Jimmerman sequence.
Oh, he was only 54. Wow. I always think about that. Do people – so they do this in 85, right? So 6 years later, he'd be dead.
He'd be dead.
And I always think about that. Like, if people could just know that they were in 6 years –
then he probably wouldn't have wanted to be in the Reanimator.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Good
but I just want to return to Scott saying, boy, Jeffrey Combs cleans up good. He's 59.
Look sharp.
What?
Yeah, he'll be 60 next year.
He does not look 59 to me.
He was on an episode of Castle earlier this year.
Yeah, he does other stuff.
But
he just looks great. Look at him there; he looks great. Mm-hmm. He should be in Star Trek the next movie.
That's everything.
I was kind of all the people who have connections to the previous ones.
Right.
Jeffrey Combs is pretty much the one guy. I don't know. I mean, if you gave me a magic wand, I would of course want Patrick Stewart. But like, man, Jeffrey Combs is just you can do anything in Star Trek.
You could. And they had those extra alien dummies in the movie, this latest movie, where they would just suddenly on the bridge go, Captain, we need to prepare. I'm like, well, wait, just have that guy be Jeffrey Combs for 5 seconds.
When you love Jeffrey Combs, just kind of like walk behind everybody on the
smirking.
Just kind of walk by and just look a little bit out of the corner of his eye. Keep on walking.
That would be the greatest fan moment ever, dude.
Yeah.
Imagine that. all right, where are we here? Let's see. We got Fame is Fleeting.
I will be famous.
And that's all he said. That guy was ridiculous. More angry acting.
Herbert! This has got to stop!
Look, he tried to blackmail me, Dan.
No, it doesn't.
And he wanted you to disappear.
Jeffrey Combs is one of those actor singers when he's mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I won't do it. You shall not pass. All right. Combs laugh. I love that laugh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's great, dude. It's like Chucky.
I totally scared you.
Look,
there's the cat. Oh, I did it again.
I don't remember what this is.
You should go away.
Oh, that's fine. You should go away.
You should go away.
I'm going to tell that to people.
We'll use that whenever Daryl gets a question run on TMS.
Yeah, go away. Go away. Jokester moment. Oh, this is pretty funny.
You'll never get credit for my discovery. Who's going to believe a talking head? Get a job in a sideshow.
Nice. It's a pretty good line.
It's the longest line that he has in the whole movie.
Pretty much. It's pretty good, though. They referenced that in that documentary, Brian, or Dunaway, that we saw.
Yeah.
Red, blue, white, whatever it was.
Okay, now I got to see this thing.
It's really good. Yeah. I thought it was
it's
fun.
It's like suggested right after this movie goes off.
Lots of Carpenter in there. John Carpenter, just tons of stuff from him and him being interviewed. For whatever reason, I thought he was Australian. I think I've had, and he's not. He's American as me or you. And I think I have him mixed up with George Miller, who did the...
Night of the Living Dead.
No. Oh, no.
George Romero, sorry, is what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, you're thinking Romero. And he was on there a bunch, too, with those giant glasses. But I'm trying to think of his name. Yeah, George Miller. He did the Mad Max movies. And I always got him and John Carpenter mixed up in terms of their nationalities. I thought George Miller was an American, John Carpenter, Australian.
American.
American.
George American.
Here's a lady scream to end up the clips here. I would have done
that's
that
That's the ending. Yeah, that's after the fade to black.
Yep.
Fade to syringe. Then yeah,
fade to neon syringe.
Fade to what looked like a glow-in-the-dark condom. Okay, moving on. hey.
John Ritter movie from the 90s.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Got you a thing right here.
No.
It's the film sack checklist, everybody. And it goes like this. Enough fake blood jelly to sink a ship? Check. Comical body with no head that can hear you say stuff from your disembodied head? Check.
Yep.
A seemingly never-ending supply of green goo? Check. Star Trek connection today is literally the word duh. And I say this because Daryl sent me an email saying, unless my Star Trek machines are broken, I don't think there's any in this one either. Like, what? Jeffrey Combs!
It's broken.
You've
got to be kidding.
Whoops.
It's broken.
Jeffrey Combs is all up in this. And there are probably other ones, but he's the main one. So that's all we're going to mention today. Yeah. Today's soundtrack grade, I'd give it a TB for Tim Burton. And it's not, you know, whatever. It's fine. But now that I know it's stolen, it kind of bugs me. Because it's a little, it's fun, it's playful and interesting, but I didn't know it was the psycho thing until you guys told me. Totally ruined it. Ruined an already terrible movie. So
it made it that much worse.
There you go. All right, you guys are now going to sum things up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Reanimator. Banned in 6 countries. It's got naked zombies, so you know it's good.
Is it really banned in 6 countries?
No.
Oh. Come on. I was hoping that was true.
8.
All right. Fair enough. You never know. Australia and Canada, they're weird about that stuff. Yeah.
Why am I so believable all the time?
I don't know. You have an honest way about you.
All right,
say things like,
we trust you.
My penis is 12 feet long. Mm. Oh, you have to show it to us sometime. Just don't hit me with it in the subway. All right. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, since you didn't play the clip, I'll just say it out loud. Reanimator. I have a theory. Overdose. Okay, that's more of a last resort.
Yeah.
But this movie dosage was not too large.
Yeah, indeed. It wasn't. And then finally, Ryan Ibbett.
Reanimator, recycling the psycho theme and reminding us that there's still 2 more of these releases in the series remaining, replete with gore and nudity. I can honestly say that this revered piece of rehash is not requiring a remake.
Nice.
Wow.
You're
really good at these.
Could you repeat that?
No.
I wouldn't make them. So very nice. Well done. We've got an alternative title. This just in, envelope handed to me. This movie was originally called, quote, Night of the Man-Wiener, unquote. All right. Emails.
There wasn't a reanimator, the reanimated series.
Yeah, so you got to think that'd be great. Let's see. Flint sent an email, said, Dear Mr. Scott Johnson, he's kind of calling me out here. In response to your Tomb Raider episode, it's been driving me crazy that you don't think Angelina Jolie is hot. I don't think I said that. I think she just has a weird mouth. He says, how is that even possible? She is so beautiful, I don't think that she's even a human being. Oh, great.
Aliens are hot.
Wow. You mentioned that you couldn't enjoy the shower scene because she reminds you of John Voight. Well, that was mostly a joke.
Right, and it was a joke stolen from Patton Oswalt.
Oh, did I? I didn't even know I stole it.
I think so.
He says, yet you previously stated that Mira Sorvino was hot. Have you seen her dad, Paul Sorvino? He looks exactly like his daughter. Bigger breasts, too. I do think Angelina is a great actress. I do, too. I think she's great. But they could make a movie called Angelina Jolie's Stares at Wallpaper, and I would pay to watch it. Flint. Well, Flint is clearly not objectifying her at all,
no.
Referring to her as not even a human. So there you go.
Yeah.
Ashley, a girl, wrote in. Check this out. Hola, Scott, Brian, and Randy. Just listened to the Four Rooms episode. This is last week or 2 weeks ago. and thoroughly enjoyed it. I saw it about 10 years ago, and I was so traumatized by the shot of Tim Roth's yell barfing that I dreaded seeing it again. But I managed to cover my eyes at exactly the right moment, so all is well. I get severely grossed out by a movie barfing, the same way Scott gets grossed out by the little kid sucking on his own feet. Too bad I didn't shut my eyes for the rest of the movie, Ashley. There you go. She had some other stuff. I guess she was worked on some film stuff, and there were some interesting things there. So thank you for that email, Flint and Ashley, and for all you do. You guys can send your own emails in too, by the way, filmsack@gmail.com. Now, before we talk about the next movie, we got to clear something up. Pretty sure Trick or Treat is no longer streaming.
No!
That was our next movie, I believe. So we need to make an on-the-fly decision here.
It's Halloween. We have to do it.
Yeah, but where am I even going to get that damn thing? Where do you get that?
YouTube.
I sent it to you.
Oh, is there a YouTube link?
YouTube.
Oh.
Also, I sent you the movie.
Oh. Okay, well, then we're watching it then, I guess.
Why not?
So Trick or Treat is next. That's up next week, right here on FilmSack. So I'll cut this all out in post. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Leave it in.
I think Scott's got a 1 in 6 chance of cutting something in post.
I think it's even worse odds than that. I never do it. I never do. I say it, but I don't do it. Sleep I don't ahead. Edit. What the hell's editing for? This is podcasting, baby. Live to hard drive. Next film will be that. Trick or Treat. Find it. It's on YouTube, I guess. So we'll share that around. And that's where you're going to probably have to watch it, right?
Oh, and then after that, we've forgotten that we're set to do Escape from L.A.
Oh, that'll be good.
I'm excited
about
that.
It's not really a horror movie, is it?
No, the Trick or Treat is our Halloween.
Is that our last Halloween episode?
Yep.
Yeah,
Escape from L.A.
Really?
Because Four Rooms was our first week of October.
Oh, you're right.
Because this will go up the 28th, right?
That's right. Four Rooms got snuck in as a horror movie.
And this month is getting away from you, too.
It really is. It's going fast. It's my big move month, so things are a little nuts. But yeah, so there you have it. Trick or Treat, final Halloween episode. After that, Escape from L.A., which... That's not as good as Escape from New York, is it?
Mm-hmm. We're going to find out.
Still Snake Plissken, though, right?
Escape from the
Room.
Okay. So it's still
snaking around.
Still got that Computer War Tennis Shoes guy in it. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Can't think of his name. Married to a chick from Private Benjamin. What's her name?
Kurt Russell. Goldie Hawn.
Wow, this there is you fun. Go. Scott could just keep going.
Thank you. I know what they're in. I don't know their names. All right. Excellent.
After that, we're looking at movies like The One, Bad Boys, Daylight, 48 Hours, XXX.
Yeah. Oh, man. I wonder if 48 Hours is as boring as I remember it being. Yeah. My memory is that it's super boring. But we'll find out. One
I don't know. We watched Footloose.
Yeah, we did.
Can watch 48 Hours.
All right. When you put it that way, we can watch anything. Filmsack.com is the place to go find all our archives and everything else we got going on. Please do that. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, @FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold and or downloaded for free. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next week.
Man wiener.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.